The important part is to look at the underlying emotion and what do I need to feel from the past that this gift, and the key word is gift, the gift of this irritation today is bringing to me.
Welcome to Supernormalize. Today, we're talking to Randy Lyman, who's a physicist and serial entrepreneur, extremely successful, multiple seven-figure companies built in his time, who had an itch to scratch when it came to his change of self. Now, what I mean by that, he was beckoned into shadow work, which enabled him to become more emotionally intelligent with himself and his business. And in doing so, it changed everything for him, and his business has boomed even more. And now it's like he's being guided by spirit on every part of his life. So it's a fantastic talk. Short one, because there's so much crunchy information in there, but I'm sure you'll enjoy. On with the show. Looking at the statistics that I have for YouTube and for my podcast apps, I have a lot of listeners and viewers that aren't yet liked and subscribed. So if you're on YouTube, like and subscribe. It's free. And if you're on a podcast app, please give me 5 stars. That'd be really cool. It helps other people find these great conversations too. Thank you. Welcome to Supernormalized, Randy Lyman. Randy, serial success person, very, very driven, but you found for yourself that was a key ingredient missing in your businesses that struck you in some certain way. What happened?
Well, CJ, I met a woman in 1989 at the age of 28 who helped me start to see the world from a completely different perspective. Prior to that, I was a physicist, a mechanical engineer, and business owner with a completely left-brain approach to life. Work hard, be smart, and we're going to find happiness. And I found success, but not happiness.
So what was her key ingredient that she brought to you?
Well, she helped me start to see the spiritual, emotional side of our human experience. And prior to meeting her, I'd never really been exposed to that. And because of my own painful emotions, I had avoided it.
Do you think that you would have called yourself like a materialist? You would have seen yourself more as a material sort of person at that stage?
Absolutely.
Yeah, look, I went through that myself when I was a younger sort of kid. I actually was very spiritual as a young person. But then as I got a little bit older, I sort of found myself losing that connection to nature because, you know, when you're really young, it's just nature. And then, yeah, as a part of that story, I had to go through a recovery of that connection to spirit too.
Well, it was an interesting experience. I spent 3 years with Maria as her name, and I talk about her in my new book, The Third Element. And her approach to life was the opposite of mine, but we had a strong connection. And she at first gently kind of showed me the way. And then as time went on, she pushed me a little harder and harder, which is exactly what I needed to keep me moving in that direction and open my mind to a new way of seeing things.
Excellent. Excellent. So was there any pivotal point in that actually led you to focus on emotional intelligence as its importance in your business and businesses?
There was a business communication retreat I went to, a 4-day event. And on the third day, we went through an exercise of the 7 levels of truth. The 7 levels of truth is something that works really well for me. And I had an issue around people in my business and people in my life being incompetent and causing challenges to me because they were incompetent. And Maria pushed me to look at myself. It's a mirror. You got to look at yourself. So I tried to be smarter, to be more confident. I tried to act more confident, and it just got worse. Well, during this exercise, I got to a place where I remembered something a family member had said to me 12 years before that hurt me deeply, and I just wasn't even aware that I was hurt. But when I got to that underlying feeling, and I felt the emotion, and I had the release, then when I went back to work 4 days later, the people in my life who had been incompetent either magically became competent or they left my life. And so me, as a scientist, I made the connection of a cause and effect, and I started looking at all my challenges differently.
So you've sort of found like a method then in that case to challenge like our personal shadows.
Absolutely. And so everything I look at in my life today, any irritation and even a logical challenge, I'll address the logical challenge with reason and take the action I need to. But the important part is to look at the underlying emotion and what do I need to feel from the past that this gift, and the key word is gift, the gift of this irritation today is bringing to me. And when I can make the connection, and I don't always have to understand it, but I need to find a way to feel it. And whether it's through breathing or tapping, EFT, walking in nature, journaling, whatever that might be, I have to find a way to get to that underlying emotion. and feel it completely.
Mm. I find it interesting that you had that point where it changed everything. For a little while there, was it like, okay, this has happened for me, but did you still believe it? It was like, oh, I'm not sure if I should believe this stuff. Was it a bit hard to actually do the transition, or was it just easy?
Well, it took time to make it habit and to really understand it and really change my approach to life, because we're here as spiritual beings on a human path, and we have to have ego to survive. It's part of the game. And our ego's here to protect us from pain, so we don't get sunburned, so we don't cut our finger off on a table saw, so that we don't feel the pain of our emotions. And that's where it gets tricky, is ego doesn't want to feel that pain. And so it protects us from that pain. And in the long run, that doesn't help us until we find a way to build trust in other parts of ourselves.
Yeah, it's definitely a certain path to growing, for sure. So many leaders struggle with emotional disconnection. How do you define emotional intelligence, and why is it so crucial for effective leadership? I mean, it's good to have that deep connection, but how do you bring that in, and how do you make that a work?
First of all, I define what's important completely different than most of the world. So most of the world says we need to be aware of our emotions and control them. And I say we need to be aware of our emotions and find a way at the right time and place to experience them. If we deny them by trying to control them, the energy is still there. And it's like storing gasoline in a metal can. You can burn it 5 or 10 years later and the energy is still there. But once you burn it, it's gone. So I encourage leaders to, as a starting point, because most leaders are left brain, write down the challenges, write down the associated feelings. And when we can separate out our feelings from what we're thinking, then two things can happen. We can put them aside for the moment and deal with them later, and then go out and act in the world rationally and take the action we need to. But then we can come back and feel whatever we need to feel and release that emotional energy. Myself as a leader, that was scary. And as I learned more and more about myself and I let go of my own baggage of anger and frustration and worry, then I learned to show up and be more vulnerable. And being vulnerable for a left-brain leader is extremely scary. But once I was clear enough internally that I could show up authentically and be vulnerable, meaning I would make mistakes and be comfortable with that. I would share stories of my past failures, small failures. It doesn't discredit me. I don't share who was responsible on the team with me for those failures. But I could be real. And then people said, wait a minute, this guy, Randy, is showing up. He's being authentic and he's sharing his failures, but he's still calm and he's centered and he's rational. But now I can feel he's a real person. And then they show up as a real person who's willing to take chances and make mistakes. So my strength ended up coming from being able to be vulnerable. And for most leaders, they have to make mistakes to get there, or they need someone to guide them. And I have another book coming out next year that'll guide people through that. But it's contrary to what we're taught.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I remember years ago going through a state of tension as I was releasing a bit of a shadow element for myself. And I didn't even know the word vulnerable. You know what I mean? I was like, how do you even word this? And my partner at the time said, you're feeling vulnerable. I was like, okay.
Right. What does that even mean? So especially as men, we're taught our natural place in the universe is to provide protection and provide. And we can still be masculine while at the same time embracing our feminine characteristics. But we're not taught that. We're taught that if we show any weakness or any vulnerability, then we're not men and we're going to lose respect from the people around us. And I found that's not true. When we find a way to find the right time and place to deal with our emotions, then they don't spill into our workplace, our family relationships, and all those other things. So again, for me, emotional intelligence really comes down to being aware and then becoming emotionally fluid, meaning I'm going to let the good and the happy emotions come through, not overwhelm me and make me do stupid things, but I want to be happy. I want to be joyous. I want to be anxious in a good way and excited about things, enthusiastic. But then when I have anger or jealousy or resentment, I want to be aware of those and find the right time and place to feel those and release them.
Yeah. Definitely. And it's good to actually have that balance, because without that balance, then what are you? You're half a person, really. And you don't make clear decisions. And like you mentioned before, you know, that's a bit of the shadow element, the pain that needs to be released can come out in all sorts of odd ways unless it's managed properly. And it's good to be conscious of that and work through it.
And so as a leader, and I talk a lot more and more today about leadership, because It's something that I've been a leader for over 40 years, even when I was working for other people. And I wasn't a good leader at first. I was an asshole. And I drove people to do what needed to be done. Well, that was not the best way to do it 40 years ago, and it definitely doesn't work today. And one of the reasons that I think I've been chosen to deliver this message is because I've made the transition from left brain to right brain, and I've gone through all the steps, then I understand it, and I can help other people go through those steps. And I'm still logical. I'm still reasonable. I still can address discipline if necessary with the people I work with. The team I have now is fantastic, so I don't need to do that. But there's a time and a place for everything. And we can be respected and liked when we're clear enough within ourselves. The people we lead will only listen to us when they can feel safe. And they only hear what we have to say when they can feel us. And if they feel tension, then they just tighten up. And as leaders, it's not about us, because if it was me, I'd just go do the job. I can't do the job. I need a team. How am I effective as a leader? My team has to be effective. So my team has to buy in to what we want to accomplish together. And the only way that my team buys into what we want to accomplish is when I show up of service to them and they know I'm on their side and they know I'm going to back them. Now they're going to back me and we get a lot more done. And I don't know on your show if this is what you really wanted to talk about or not. This is what's coming to me at the moment, because I love to talk about crazy stuff too, that people don't always connect with the tangible. But for me, the biggest part of showing up effective in the tangible world is, as we've been talking about, to be clear in our emotional self.
Yeah, definitely. That's definitely the way that that needs to happen for everyone. So then showing up is clearly showing up authentically.
And so when I was first learning these things, because I'm a scientist, and if you couldn't measure it, if I couldn't touch it or measure it, it didn't exist. Well, magnetism worked before we had compasses, and gravity worked before we could really measure it. And electromagnetic field theory was always there. And today we're learning, science is learning how to measure these type of things. But I go to the level in my book of quantum mechanics and Heisenberg's uncertainty principle. And I do it in a story that's fun. But the world is created for us one moment at a time through the law of attraction. God in the universe has two rules for us. One is love wins. When we respond from a place of love and caring, we're going to find an answer. If we respond from fear, we don't find the answer, not very easily. And then the law of attraction. So the universe doesn't judge us, doesn't have expectations. It's just, okay, whatever we think, do, and our emotions gets reflected back to us. So on a quantum level, it's proven almost 100 years ago through the double slit theory that energy does not become material and does not act as a particle or material until it's observed or interacted with. So we have all these multitude of possible futures, and our future is determined by our thoughts, our actions. Our actions are really obvious. Am I going to go left or go right? And then our unhealed emotions, our current emotions, but more importantly, our unhealed emotions. So if we're holding that energy, again, as I said, the universe is going to say, I want you to let this go. So I'm going to irritate the hell out of you if necessary. I'm going to bring problems and even tragedy into your life so you can feel this. So at a quantum level, every just fraction of a second is created for us, for our reality, one step at a time in this illusion of this 3D world we're going through. So love is real. The rest is illusion. The pain is real to our personality, but when we can step back, take a step back and look at it and say, wow, what do I have to learn? How can I control my reality around me by controlling my thoughts, my actions, and working through my emotions? Then the life just changes. And that took me a long time. That took me years to get through.
It speaks to the idea of us co-creating our universe with the creator.
And that's exactly what happens, because the creator wants us to have a unique experience. He wants us to have free will. And it's what a friend of mine calls non-computable experiences, meaning there may be some probability, but there's no certainty. And so we're out here making our own decisions. And sometimes our free will, most of the time, our free will is very effective. Sometimes our soul says, nope, you're going to go this direction. Or our creator says, no, we're going this direction. And we're overridden. But the excitement is in the good choices we make. And sometimes the excitement is in the bad choices we make. And to our soul, it doesn't make any difference. To our personality, yeah, I don't want pain. I don't want suffering. I want my life to be good. And I want the life of people around me to be good. But the free will is a huge part of the game.
In your experience, what measurable outcomes have you observed in businesses that prioritize emotional mastery among their teams?
Well, before I started on this path 35 years ago, I had multi-million dollar businesses. But once I was able to become more clear within myself, and I started to incorporate in what I'd learned about emotions and personal interaction and just how the universe works, then my business over just a matter of years grew to 30 times the size. And we were extremely successful, mostly because I was able to attract better people on my team. And I learned from a lot of wonderful people I worked with. And by us applying spiritual principles, so to speak, being more caring, compassionate, visualizing what we wanted, and addressing our emotional challenges openly, and then the business became more successful. My health was better. My relationships were better. And aside from making just a freaking metric shit ton of money, which is wonderful, I felt better about life. I felt more fulfilled and the money didn't matter so much. That was the funny part.
That's excellent. As a part of your process, you did actually mention somewhere in your things that talked about you that you were numb for many years to your emotions. And did you actually find any strategies yourself that or practices that helped you reclaim those?
Well, massage therapy is something that worked for me at first. And to find a good practitioner who can hold the space of caring and healing energy of love. And then we have to get in touch with our physical body to get to our emotions and release. So massage worked for me. I learned EFT tapping early on, and that's still effective for me today. Breathing exercises, there's a load of breathing exercises that are helpful, and Wim Hof helped make that popular. And so today, that's the fastest thing to go to for me is, wait a minute, I feel stress. Let's breathe into that tension and amplify that tension, and then make the conscious effort to breathe it out. And that keeps my mind occupied with observing my body rather than making up a story. And in the moment, I can let tension go. Walking in nature. I work right now with a wonderful hypnotist who is noted in my website, randylyman.com, and the how-to. So I share on my website several of the practitioners who've been helpful for me.
Nice. Yeah. With your hypnosis, what sort of hypnosis are you doing to make change?
Well, I don't know, because this is the only hypnotist who's been effective. And so we start down the road. I'm kind of out. I'm aware of what's going on, but I don't remember. And she's able to take me to a place of emotional release. And for me, even as a man, if I can cry the tears and feel the old pain and let it go, that's what I'm looking for. So energy in the universe, first law of thermodynamics, is neither created nor destroyed. But when we can feel that energy in our body, it turns into heat and it's released from tension, and then our body doesn't have to hold that. So that's something that's helpful. And I'm sorry, I can't explain it any better.
Yeah, that's okay.
And which the practice is, but yeah. It is very effective.
Works for you. That's a good thing.
And everybody has something different. Whatever can take us to a place of feeling that comes through our body, it can't be done through our mind. Our mind is never in the present moment unless it's observing. And most of the time it's making up stories and trying to figure things out. So it's never in the present moment. But emotions know no time, and emotions can only come through our body in the present moment. And because of that, the way each of the three elements interacts with time, our mind cannot heal our emotional wounds.
I like that. Can you discuss the connection between spirituality and business success, and how has your spiritual journey influenced your approach as a leader? Did you have a faith already before you discovered all this method and path, or that was something that came along with the change?
Well, I wasn't raised religious or spiritual. And as a physicist, many physicists ask, well, what's the bigger meaning of life? And so a few years before I met Maria, in about 1987, I started reading the Bible and looking for truth. And I had a few messages I received and some guidance. But until Maria opened my eyes and I really was able to work with somebody who'd been focused on that for 15 years, I wasn't spiritual. And when I was able to, and I know I've already said this, I hate to repeat myself, but when I was able to get to my own anger and get rid of the anger and get rid of the worry and get to the underlying sadness, is what it really was. And all these emotions, these masculine emotions on the exterior to protect myself, are really because of internal sadness. Well, then when I show up, I could see the spirit and the beauty in the people I worked with. Now, from a planning perspective, is that important? From a budget perspective, is that important? Indirectly, yes, it is, because the only way we can accomplish our plans and the only way we can reach our budget and our sales numbers and do all the other things we need to do is by finding ways to have people follow us and have people buy in two things. They have to buy into the goal. And then second, if they can feel that they're contributing and we can find ways to guide them to contribute in a reasonable, effective fashion, then they become a part of the solution. And a lot of my best ideas weren't my ideas. They were from my team. And so that's a process to go through from saying, I know what's best. We're going to do it my way, to, hey, share your ideas with me. Let's figure this out together. And I still have the ability to override the group if necessary or guide them in different directions. But when the people I worked with had a feeling that they were contributing, and that's big because a lot of people need to be able to feel like they're contributing because they may not feel that much value in their personal life. People want their life to be worthwhile. And if they can find a way to contribute and be acknowledged for their contribution at work, then again, all these little things add up and a snowball effect. And suddenly we have great teams. Great teams make great businesses. And that's how I've been able to find the success that I have.
Mm, yeah, right. Yeah. So you're basically opening up to guidance from spirit, even in business, but consciously so.
Well, and it's interesting because once I started to learn about my emotions in 1980, so I was really able to become comfortable with my intuition and learn to employ that. Then it grew stronger and stronger. And once it became part of my life, I made most of my decisions with my intuition. I made multi-million dollar decisions from a place of intuition. Now, my mind would always look at it and say, okay, is that dangerous? Does that make sense? And if I needed to dig in deeper, I would. But the challenge with intuition is it never justifies itself. It's just this quiet little voice that says, do this, do that, turn left, but doesn't say why. And that's because spirit has to give us free will. So my mind will say, turn left because, and give me a lot of reasons. And my emotional wounds will say, turn right and give me a lot of reasons. But spirit says, I'm going to give you this information and you have the free will to listen or to ignore it. And when we get to that place of being quiet enough and being comfortable enough to hear that little voice, that calm voice of calm, quiet voice of wisdom, then it's amazing how powerful it is. And it's always right for me.
That's beautiful. I love that connection to your intuition. Okay. So I was going to ask you about this. So for people who are actually skeptical about the role of emotions in business environments, how would you encourage them to explore this aspect of leadership without fear?
Write down the problems that we face. So we as leaders, we're used to writing things down. So write down the problem. If you have a solution, write down the solution. But if you write down the problem and you can't find the solution, then I say, suspend your doubt for a moment and ask what is the underlying feeling. And we won't find it right away. So we talk about the problem. If you can't find the solution, find the irritation. And then from the irritation, we find the feeling. And then be open to writing more. And I wasn't open to free-form writing. I'm a structured guy, 1, 2, 3, 4. But when I learned to just free-form write, then I was able to get in touch with the underlying feelings better. And just know that in writing this down, you don't have to address it right away. And it'll be scary at first. But the universe never gives us more than we're ready to handle. And if we ask for guidance, the universe, spirit, always brings those things up for us in a place that's safe with either by ourselves or with people who love us and support us and understand. So we're afraid at first we're going to be embarrassed. People are going to lose respect for me, et cetera. Now, just ask for, bring this to me in a place and time that's appropriate. Suspend your doubt. Be open to feeling a little bit of the fear and then the pain and know that it's all going to work out.
Mm. Yeah, it's good to actually have that trust in spirit, in a deep way, for sure, because we're being guided all the time. It's a matter of that listening, really.
Yes. The voice is... Go ahead.
You go ahead.
Well, the guidance is always there. And it's a long path. I'm a believer in reincarnation. My guess is it's 1,000 lifetimes to figure this planet out. So at every stage of our evolution, we have different challenges and goals and lessons. But I'm guessing a lot of the people learning your show are relatively evolved and they're experimenting in this and they're open to, well, maybe there's a different way of looking at things. And that's one reason that I wrote this book is because I've had so much more joy in my life and so much more success in my life because of the changes I've made. I share this with people in a way that makes sense. So when they read my book, then it makes sense. Oh, Randy's a logical guy. He's successful. And here's how he lays it all out. Then they can say, well, I'm willing to take the risks to feel some of this and to open my mind to the unseen. And when we do that, then spirit brings us answers.
Who is the target audience for your book specifically? Is there any one target audience or is it a broad audience?
Well, the next book will be specifically for business. This book right now is for anybody who's worked with the law of attraction and they're frustrated because they've cleared their mind and they've changed their thoughts and they are addressing their body with more health consciously and they're aware of their environment and they're doing all that they can to get results and they're not getting the results. And they're like, the law of attraction's BS. It doesn't work. Well, They're missing that third and final element, the missing key. And that's what my book is all about, is to help people put the complete puzzle together and now find complete success.
That sounds like an ideal book for people that wish to become leaders in their own lives, but conscious leaders.
Conscious leaders. And today, the nice thing and the challenging thing about leading today is the old ways don't work. That's a challenge. But the nice thing is it really gives leaders incentive to look at things from a different perspective. It gives leaders incentive to be open to emotional growth and to being more caring and more compassionate and trusting in spirit and trusting in the people they work with. And so we're kind of forced in that direction in a good way.
It sounds like it actually helps people to also discover that their lives is actually a spiritual journey and it can be joyous.
It can be joyous. And that's waiting for anybody who opens their mind to that and sets the intent of going down that path. The joy is there waiting.
What advice would you give to aspiring entrepreneurs who wish to integrate emotional intelligence into their business practice but don't know where to start?
Well, my book will help them on their own personal journey. And then my advice is be willing to take risks and make mistakes. Start with small risks and know that every mistake has an opportunity for learning. And we're taught that we have to do everything perfect. And it's scary to put our own money or the money of our family or friends or go into debt to open a business. And to be an entrepreneur is scary enough just as it is. And then to open ourselves up for a different approach that is new to us and working with the unseen, the emotional side of being human, that's scary. But when we ask for guidance and we surrender to spirit, show me the answer, it comes. And there's a saying, I don't know if I'm going to get it right, but when we take risks, mighty forces come to our aid. And when we're willing to surrender and say, okay, this is my goal, this is where I want to be, show me, spirit, show me some guidance, and I surrender to your help. I still have my own goals. I still take all my own action. I'm still intelligent, but I'm open to that intuition and those synchronicities coming along. Then better things happen, but that's scary for somebody. So suspend the doubt, be willing to make mistakes, and you'll be pleasantly surprised at the guidance that shows up.
Wonderful message there, Randy. So we've come to the end of the podcast, and I'd like people to be able to find your book, The Third Element, and your website. So you did say it was randylyman.com?
Randylyman.com. The book is The Third Element. It's available on Amazon through paperback and through Kindle. I'm currently recording the audio. That'll be available soon. And then on my website, people will find free offers. Click on the book section or the how-to, and you're going to find some things that are free and helpful. And this isn't about me. This is about the message to the world of life can be better, and spirit loves us and wants us to succeed.
Would you say this, your book and your life story now is turning into a path of service to others to help them to grow?
Yes. And that for me is a wonderful place to be, because there's so much more fulfillment in, for me, in being of service than even financial success. And it just opens our life to so many wonderful things.
Brilliant. Thank you so much for coming on the show, Randy. I really appreciate all that you shared and your wisdom. And I give you, all the best wishes and success with your book and helping many others in the world.
Well, you're welcome, CJ. Thanks for having me on. This has been a lot of fun. Great questions.
Excellent. All right. I'll just say goodbye to listeners. That was what I would call a perfect encapsulated talk with Randy there about his understanding of emotional intelligence and deep shadow work and how that can help you as a person to grow and connect to what needs to change so you're more effective, first of all in business, because that's what his take is, and then also in all areas of your life. What a great episode. Thank you very much, Randy, again for coming on. And if you've enjoyed today's show, reach out to Randy at his website, randylyman.com. Get his book. I'm sure it's going to be great. And I haven't had a chance to read it, but I think I will. This will be cool. And if you've enjoyed today's episode, remember to like and subscribe. It's free. And if that's for the YouTube people, then for the people listening on your podcast apps, pick up your phone and give me 5 stars and write something really nice. I'd really appreciate that. Thank you so much. Share this to a friend. That'd be really cool. Until next episode, it's bye for now.